Normal service is briefly resumed for Game Week 24, but with doubles and blanks on the horizon, we try to forward plan. Is it time to look at Liverpool? Should we be chasing Chelsea? And just who are the points-worthy premiums? Hello, FPL Pod, back with you again. And this week, a slightly less upbeat intro from me because, yes, I was brought back down to earth this game week. So it's hello from me, Kelly Summers, flanked, as always, by Sam Bonfield of FPL Family and Julian Laurens. And you two had really good weeks, especially you, Sam.
Yeah, it was another good week, Kelly. I think that's my eighth consecutive green arrow now in a row. So it's been a good run. Hopefully it can last through game week 24 as well.
I kind of hope so for your sake and the sake of this podcast, but now we're in a league, I kind of don't, I'm going to be honest with you.
You want me to fail now?
I don't want you to fail, I want you to do well, I just want to do better. Jules, how about you? How was your game week?
Yeah, it was good, 81 points, so I think I'm only 7 or 8 behind Sam, which I will take. I'm way ahead of you again this week, to be fair. But 81 is good, and you know, I tripled in City players and Arsenal players. They could have done better, they still did well. Saka did well, Haaland in the end did well, Mahrez did well, certainly in the first game of the two games that he played. I was very happy with my goalkeeper because instead of Kepa, I decided to put start Leno, and he's amongst just the two goalkeepers with De Gea not to have considered a goal this at the weekend. So the choice of going for Leno in goal was very good.
Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about the game week that was in just a moment, but let's now welcome our guest on. And this week, it's someone who's a little bit newer to FPL, but has a huge interest in it now, given she is one of the writers for Sky's Fantasy Football League show. So welcome along to Annie McGrath. Annie, how are you enjoying this FPL rollercoaster ride that you've joined?
Hello, yes, thanks for having me. I have been enjoying it. It's sort of like a full-time job, isn't it? You have to yes. be like on your phone constantly. And I find myself much more invested in teams that I might not otherwise care about. But yeah, it's been very good fun.
Before we delve too much into how your first season has gone, tell us a little bit about the show and about your role within it and why you've had to get so involved in FPL.
Yes, so it's been fun. I've been writing on the Fantasy Football League with Matt Lucas and Ellis James and Andrew Mensah. So it involves sort of watching Premier League games and picking out funny moments that happen during football matches and thinking of sort of sketch ideas and gags relating to football players and managers. And it's been fun.
Okay, so your first season, what mm-hmm. have you learned as an FPL manager? Because us three have been playing this game so long, we kind of know how we're going to feel at certain points, some of the tricks of the trade, so to speak. What's it like coming in as a new manager? What kind of things have taken you by surprise?
I still feel like I'm learning a lot every week. I've learned not to make transfers too early because my instinct is to sort of be quite organized. And so I'm like, oh yeah, great. A new week, I'll, make a transfer or whatever. But I've learned that you need to wait until sort of, you know, more about injuries and things like that. And then don't leave it too late because there's often a sort of mad rush at the end. So it's all about timing, as with comedy.
It is, Jules, isn't it? Jules fell foul to that the other week trying to change who was on his bench at the last minute. It didn't quite work, did it, Jules? Should we bring that up again?
Nah, it was a bad week. No, we don't have to. But Annie, I was just wondering, is there something that you find difficult? I mean, is it to follow everything? Is it to find stats or to find things that said, okay, yeah, I should go with this player for your first season? Is there something in particular that you find really, really difficult with the game to grasp or maybe to get your head around?
Well, I find it difficult as an Arsenal fan. My loyalties obviously lie
with Arsenal. It's one of the big problems in the game.
I find it difficult to, I haven't had any Spurs players on my team for the whole time.
Disgraceful behaviour.
So it's hard to sort of get rid of my deep set loyalty to Arsenal. I don't know that I've had many Chelsea players either. So there's things like that I know I need to get over for the sake of my FPL team, but it's quite difficult as a novice.
If there's any season that it's been good to be an Arsenal fan and stay loyal to Arsenal players, surely it's this one.
True. Yeah. And I did captain Saka this week and I followed my heart because ordinarily, like previously, I've been just captaining Haaland as a sort of default. But this week I thought, I'm going to back my golden boy, Saka. And it did actually pay off. So
it could be worse because you could be a Watford fan like Kelly. And in that case, you don't really want a player from that team in your team.
She's looking very unimpressed.
Oh, Jules, I don't have to consider it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't have to consider it. I don't have to worry about being loyal.
It's better when they're in the second division.
Although if Watford do go up, and this is the world's biggest if, given that they're just about in those playoff spots at the moment, João Pedro, one to have on your radar next season, if he's even still at Watford, he'll be a cheap forward. Anyway, that's about the only tip I'm going to give you on that front. Don't think it's going to happen. Let's talk a little bit about the game week that was then. Jules has already alluded to how his went. How did yours go, Annie?
Yeah, good. As I said, so I triple captained Saka, which was good. He got me 45 points. I think in total I got 87.
Nice.
Haaland was my vice captain. So yeah, 10 points from him. Annoyingly, Shaw was on my bench and he got 12 points, which was like, is always frustrating to see. But yeah, generally quite a good week. I'm going up. I've moved up like a million places, which shows you how badly I was doing previously. I think I'm on 3 millionth and something now. So pretty good.
But it is your first season. Yeah. And also myself, we've been joking about how bad my season's been. It's not been good by the usual kind of benchmark that I have, but I've climbed the last few weeks, had a small red arrow this week, but it's all about improving on where you are. And yes, we all have to start somewhere. And yes, we can all have a bad few weeks as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's highs and lows this game. I'll tell you that.
Yes. That's probably the biggest thing, that at the end of the season, if someone says, what's your takeaway of your first season in FPL? You'll probably say highs and a fair few lows. Talking of highs and lows, Sam, very much a high. You alluded to it before. Talk us through the successes that were in this game week.
Yeah, so I got 88 this week, which I was really pleased with. But I mean, actually, I was higher in the overall ranks before the game that we had on Wednesday evening, because I had Mahrez over KDB. And at the weekend, that was absolutely the right thing to do. And then obviously going into yesterday, I was thinking, oh, if KDB returns, that's going to hurt me. And it did. But at least at the same time, Haaland was getting points and Saka was picking up points. So that felt... It felt like a really decent week, and it's another green arrow. So, you know, you were just saying, Annie, about, you know, feeling like, oh, I'm down in the 3 million something. Going into the World Cup, I was at 1.5 million and now I'm at 88K. So it's just one of those moments where if you make the right transfers at the right times, if you get on the right form players, if you play the chips correctly, and you did this week by putting that triple captain's armband on Saka, that you find actually that's quite easy to then climb up the rankings.
Yeah. Those both sound like very good positions that you mentioned, though, even the one that for you was bad. I dream of being in that position.
It would come.
One day.
And so Jules, other than your goalkeeper, you got 81 points, did you say? What else?
Yeah.
What else went right?
I mean, the usual suspect, Mahrez, Rashford, Saka, of course, and Ketia. Overall, there was nothing special in the team apart from Leno in goal with the 6 points. No return from defenders, which is a bit disappointing, especially when obviously Saliba and Nathan Ake had the double game week, which was a bit disappointing. But overall, again, you rest on your most secure assets who've all returned. So it was good, but it's not one of those 81 weeks that I think, like Sam alluded to, that was going to take you much, much more higher. I think I was 390K in the world and now I'm 350K because I think certainly a lot of people had a really good week as well, because the usual suspects all return again.
One thing I will say though, Kelly, is I should give a shout out at this point to Darwin Nunes, who...
Oh, of course!
Hey!
I thought of you! I should apologise publicly to him, because I've been trying to get rid of him for weeks and weeks.
The guys that clip up our video content, clip this up, get this going viral on the socials.
Send it up to Liverpool.
He's waiting for your apologies. He's been outraged by your...
I know, Jules. And I kept him this week because of the Liverpool double game week announcement. So because there was the announcement that Liverpool are going to play twice in 25, I was like, right, Darwin, you're the man now, you get to stay. And he immediately bangs me an assist, so I was delighted with him. And he's a lovely differential, like around my rank he's owned by like 2% of the game, so that assist gave me a lovely green arrow. At that point I think he moved me up about 19,000 places, which is madness, and proves that having the right differential at the right moment... Now, okay, I've had Darwin at the wrong moment for a long time, but having him for that right moment, I won't forget the pain that we've had over the last few weeks of me trying to sell him and always having to deal with other issues. But now is the time for Darwin to shine.
Sam, what's your overall rank now? Because we've talked about you climbing, but tell us just what that climb's been like over the past few weeks since the restart.
Yeah, so I'm at 88,397, which is really, really good. But actually, you know, we talked, didn't we, coming out of the World Cup about the Second Chance League that was set up and how that would be kind of a good moment for FPL managers that have had not the best season. And I must admit, when the Second Chance League launched, I was like, right, this is my league because I've not had the best start to the season. So I'm going to really focus in on trying to climb this one, because if you can climb that, then you'll eventually climb the other one too. And I'm at 11,000 in that one. So wow. It just goes to show how good the last few game weeks have been for me since game week 17. And I think, you know, it does prove that you don't need one outstanding game week to move you up, but just little chunks of rank coming away every week will move you up quite a long way, because it's actually still really condensed right now in the leagues. And, you know, 1 point will move you up a few thousand places. So if you're not doing as well as you want to be, just stick with it.
Thank you. Yeah, I felt like that was directed at me.
Sam, I've just received a text from my other half, Max. We've been giving listeners Max progress, haven't we, in terms of your son, Max, my Max. And he knows I'm recording this. And he's just sent me a text to say he is now 2,102 in the entire world. He's in 733 in England. This is getting tough for me.
I love that he is texting you this stuff. Like,
he sent me a little screen grab. I mean, he's just sent me like the little thing like that.
You sure you want to marry a guy who does that to you while you're recording a show that's going to be listened
brutal.
By like millions of people? That's brutal.
There's a reason why, Jules, this has been the world's longest engagement.
Yeah. he's having a phenomenal season. He is. Like, credit to him. He is
incredible,
doing really well.
Yeah, well done.
Let's
to
move
him.
On. What's that's enough secret? Airtime once again. I don't know. Luck.
Married to Kelly and listening to our show. And listening to our show.
Me. It's all about me. That's where all my luck's gone. It's gone on him. Anyway, can we move on now, please? I like to mention it because it vaguely gives me some kind of credentials, but I don't want to mention it too much. Let's move on and try and plan ahead. As always, we're here to look ahead to game week 24, but there have been so many fixture announcements lately. There are doubles and blanks aplenty. So in case you've missed them, this is currently where we were at, but this is a moving beast. Game week 25, as it stands, a double. Liverpool, Arsenal, Wolves and Everton will all play twice. The teams are all blank. Manchester United, Newcastle, Brentford and Brighton. Then game week 26 is going to be a standard 10-match game week. Then in game week 27, the teams that will double will be Brentford, Brighton, Southampton and Crystal Palace. Game week 28, there are potential blanks that week because it does depend on who goes through in the FA Cup. The next round of FA Cup, to keep an eye on, by the way, takes place in the midweek of the 28th of February and the 1st of March. Plus, that isn't it. There are also 7 postponed games to be played, as well as potential game week 28 postponements. Firstly, Sam, you're our official expert. Have I missed anything there? Is that currently where we're at?
No, that is absolutely spot on, Kelly. It's a bit of a minefield at the moment, isn't it?
Talk us through how you're planning on viewing these game weeks in terms of your transfers, because you're not really just making transfers for game week 24 at this point, are you?
No, and I think that's really important. Like, if you look at the fixtures for game week 24, there are a number of teams that you would think, oh, I definitely want to invest there. The likes of Brighton, for example, you'd go, oh, they've got a really nice home game. They've got Fulham, who are in a bit of a dip right now of form, so you'd want to go there. You can have a look at other teams like Brentford, of course, as well, because they've got Crystal Palace, but then you cast your eye forward to game week 25. And if you do go for somebody like Tony or Matoma, you're putting yourself in a problem the week after because you've got a player that's not going to play. Plus, most of us are already at least doubled or trebled on Manchester United. We've got Newcastle players in there. You might have a Brighton or a Brentford player. So you really have to be using your transfers for 24 to set you up for 24, but also to set you up for game week 25 and make sure that you've got as many players as you can ready in your team for next week so that you don't have to start taking big hits going into game week 25.
We're at that point, aren't we, where we're all looking at our teams, counting just how many players we're going to have for game week 25. Jules, how are you set up for the next game week? So I'm talking about game week 25 at this point.
Well, I mean, obviously I will have players who blank, so I need to, you know, to bench some, to get rid of some. So I think I'm going to roll on the free transfer this week to keep the 2 free transfers to attack the game week 25 and make the right choices. But now you have to look ahead already. Who has double game week the week after that and after that. So Liverpool, for example, like Sam was saying, I know they play Newcastle this weekend, but after that it's a double game week. And then if their form picks up even more on the back of the win against Everton in the derby, then suddenly they become for now, I think a lot of us have sold pretty much, apart from Darwin Nunes, when you're obviously in love with him. But if you're not in love with him, you would have sold him a long time ago. It's tricky now with all those double game week coming. It's basically picking who you think will perform the best in the double game week, who they faced over those two games. And then if you have enough money or if you have enough free transfers, then to make the right adjustments.
Annie, how have you found this process as a new FPL manager? Because particularly at this time of the season, it can get quite tricky, can't it?
Yeah, well, I've realised in the last 5 minutes while you three have been speaking that I've not been strategising particularly well at all. And I've been very much playing a sort of week by week game instead of playing the long game. So yeah, I'm glad I've got three Arsenal players, so I'll probably stick with them. And then, I don't know, I was thinking for game week 24, of recruiting maybe Thiago Silva from Chelsea as they're playing Southampton. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Chelsea look like really nice investment opportunities because they don't blank, and they won't blank in game week 28 either because they're already out of the FA Cup, as are their opponents that week. So Chelsea are a team I'm looking at as well. Like I think they make a really nice investment piece. You don't have the benefit of a double at the moment, but you do have the security of knowing that you've always got someone that will play.
Great. I'm glad I've got Sam's approval.
Yeah, Sam's approval makes everyone feel so much better.
Yeah, that made me feel calmer, genuinely.
Jules, an opportunity for Mudryk to come good for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, so sometimes, Annie, I've got, you know, in the night, I dream about something, I hear about something, and then I'm really up for it. And Mudryk, I was really excited. People were telling me he was amazing at training. And then he's been dreadful the last two games I've owned him. I even benched him at the weekend, and rightly so, because he didn't return. I thought against Dortmund in the Champions League in midweek, it was again a little bit difficult for him to get into the game and to actually have an impact on the game. I think it's difficult in a team like Chelsea that doesn't really play as a strong collective, and it's more like Joao Felix does his own thing and then Mudryk does his own thing and then Ziyech does his own thing. So, and Rich James does his own thing. So it's a bit difficult, but it's going to come good at some point. I need to keep faith in Mikhailo Mudryk. So against Southampton, I have to fancy him, so I think he's going to come back in the starting 11 and hoping he's a good differential.
As an Arsenal fan, it's been quite comforting to see him play not particularly successfully, given we wanted him
But don't
him
think
so
like
much.
That in the game.
No,
you can't
I know,
think like that in the game.
This
I see where you're
problem.
Coming from, but no, I'm kidding.
And I'm not sure if you're aware and if you realise Jules is also an Arsenal fan. So Jules has had to learn to differentiate between being an Arsenal fan and being an FPL manager. It's something we've had to coax him into.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
I've had Kane since day one. Even Sam didn't put Kane straight away and I did. Sold him. You sold him and then you brought him back.
That is true.
But
the man is an absolute legend. And not having him
Didn't have him in your squad.
You are correct. I did have him in game week one. Right, another public apology coming. Harry, I apologise for taking you out. Never again.
He's not forgiving you.
He will forgive me. I'm his number one fan, Jules. Of course
you were not even there when he broke the record. Only your mum was there.
This North London argument. I can't believe it's taken us until the beginning of, or the middle of February even, for you two to have a Barney on this podcast, being supporters of Spurs and Arsenal. But let's bring this back into focus. Sam, the teams that will play in 24 and in 25, which teams are you looking at targeting at the moment?
So I think if you don't have any Liverpool players, which actually for most of the game is the case, I think they look like nice options to target. Whether you want to go for Salah is kind of questionable, and it depends on whether you're happy to sell players like maybe KDB. But if you've got Bruno Fernandes and you can afford a little bit of, you know, money to go investing in Salah, then I think that that's a wise idea, because Manchester United blank, wise Liverpool will play twice. Arsenal, if you're not already trebled up, then you need to be trebled up. And actually, there's a conversation to be had with the three that I have, because I've got Martinelli still right now. And I don't think that's the right way to be going, given he keeps being taken off for Trossard. And I suspect at some point he's going to get benched for Trossard will start. And Everton, I also think, look like a nice option. So for me, it's obviously Arsenal, but leave them out of it for a minute because I think we're all there anyway. Liverpool and Everton, the ones I target for the double game week. I think Everton, it looks tough, but James Tarkowski, we spoke about a lot last week, and I still think he looks nice. But outside of those double game week players, I think you really need to be having a look at Chelsea. I do think that they are the standout single game week team for this week, not only because they play Southampton, but because you future-proof your team as they won't blank in 25 or 28.
Annie mentioned Thiago Silva. Who are you looking at specifically from Graham Potter's side?
So I've already got Kepa, which means I've only got two Chelsea spaces available. If Liverpool hadn't have doubled this week, I would have gone for João Felix. I'd have swapped Darwin Nunez out for him. But obviously I can't do that right now. But I might do that after game week 28, once I've got through the Liverpool double, depending upon how they play in that one. But I still really love Badia Shaw. I think he is the best player to go with in that Chelsea defence. He has the benefit of not being able to play in the Champions League right now, so had the rest in midweek. When he plays, it calms down that defence. And we've still seen some really good things from him. Like when I was looking at the stats from the game against West Ham at the weekend, he got two shots, both of which were inside the box in that game. And only João Felix had more across the entire match. So he had three. And then it was, you know, a couple of the defenders, I think it was Reece James, was up there too with two. So when you're looking for potential at Chelsea, at the price point that he is, I think he offers phenomenal value for money, and doubling up defensively against Southampton this week makes a lot of sense to me.
Jules, are you looking at anyone else from Chelsea, or are you just happy with your Mudryk pick?
And no, I think Reece James has to be in the conversation again. The form that he is now in, I mean, the game against Dortmund, he was outstanding from start to finish. And yet they conceded a goal, and you defensively, they've been solid. They don't score enough. We know that. They don't have a proper centre forward. We know that. I think he's four goals scored in the last nine games in all competitions. It's not enough. And Reece James will create chances. But at some point, come on, someone is going to score in that team. And I think Reece James could be the provider. So I think Reece James, Badia Shaw is a really good shot, of course, and he's cheap compared to Reece James. But yeah, Reece James, considering the form that he's in now, has to also be in your mind somewhere if you're thinking a Chelsea asset. So with Ben Chilwell, it's the same. Although I think Reece James is ahead of Chilwell in terms of match fitness and efficiency on the pitch. But Chilwell, again, if he gets back to his best form, is going to be such an added value to Chelsea and potentially to your team.
One thing I will say is just a little shout out here to Ollie Watkins, who we barely mentioned on this pod this season, but has got four goals since game week 17, as well as a couple of assists in there. And he's had a goal in his last three matches, picking up 8, 11 and 7 points. Now, Aston Villa do seem to be finding a little bit of form. The fixture in game week 24 is not great because, of course, it's against Arsenal, but sorry to bring this up with two Arsenal fans on the pod, but they haven't had a clean sheet now since game week 20. I don't think Arsenal will lose this game. I think they'll beat Aston Villa, but I don't think they'll keep a clean sheet in it. So going for somebody like Ollie Watkins provides you with an opportunity to set your team up better for game week 25 when they play Everton. And then it gets you through this period where actually they start to then have a nice run of fixtures, where after that they've got games against Crystal Palace, West Ham and Bournemouth. So the fixtures look really nice for investment there. Now, they're not exactly doing great defensively. I've got Luca Dean. I'm probably going to move him on. But I think if you've got a space up top, Ollie Watkins looks a really nice differential.
Yeah, Aston Villa are a team that were very much on my radar. You just want teams that are going to play, don't you, at this stage as well. So you've got to look at the doubles, but you've got to balance it off with teams that are going to play as well. Jules, where else are you looking outside of Chelsea, Aston Villa and Liverpool? And I'm interested to know how you're feeling about Liverpool at this moment as well, and if you're going to reinvest there.
I mean, I've been burned before. That's the thing about Liverpool. When they, especially, for example, in the Champions League. Exactly. Annie is smiling because on your first season, you've been burned many times. But it's true. They had a good game in the Champions League, for example, beating Napoli. First team in Europe to beat Napoli. And you think, okay, this is the turning point. So you keep your Liverpool players or you invest in Liverpool players. And then they go back to what they've done in the league before, which is so much inconsistency, and you just never know if they're going to turn up or not. And in the end, you're disappointed. So I think I'm going to wait a little bit. Again, Newcastle this weekend is a really tough game. And I don't know what kind of Liverpool we will see, if we will see the one that we saw against Everton, or if we're going to see the ones who struggled to get going, who concede goals and are not as solid and not efficient in the two boxes, really. The other team that I looked up preparing for the show was Leicester. And I think it's a real shame. I mean, they've got two huge games coming up, obviously, which will put you off maybe in United and Arsenal. But before that, they've been playing, certainly going forward, much better. Iheanacho, I don't know what's happening to him because he's on incredible form. James Maddison is coming to great form as well. Barnes did really well against Spurs. And okay, you're not going to play Spurs every week, unfortunately, for Leicester. But,
whoa,
sorry, Sam, I had to go there.
Goodness.
I had to go there. but yeah, I think those two games. So maybe just keep an eye on Leicester. See how they do against United and Arsenal, which are two very difficult games, of course. And after that, the fixtures are better. You know, I mean, there will be Chelsea at some point, but I think Leicester potentially at some point, maybe in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, could be very interesting if they keep that kind of form.
Annie, what are you taking away from this chat in terms of which teams you think you're going to be investing in?
Well, yes, I think Chelsea and Liverpool sound like good bets. I just was wondering, I was looking at my team and obviously Rashford's been playing very well and I did captain him on Man U's double game week, which was good. But I'm just looking ahead to game week 25 and seeing they're not playing. So I'm just wondering what your guys' thoughts are on selling Rashford now, or do you think he's worth
bench. Just bench. Just put bench. Him on the, give him a rest, yeah. Put him on a bench with a blanket. Yeah. And then bring him back on for game week 26.
Because Annie, you might have noticed that the other thing you do have to consider is if you then want to bring those players back in, the whole price change thing. So whatever you paid for Rashford, if you sell him, yes, you might make a little bit of money, but then you'll have to buy him back at the bigger price. So you'll lose money.
Yeah.
Not the price that you bought him on originally. Yeah.
And the thing is with Manchester United that the fixtures actually from now until the end of the season look really nice, with the exception of the blank, obviously, in 25 and a potential blank, which looks like it might happen in 28 because both they and Brighton are still in the FA Cup. So it only takes one of them to progress to the sixth round and suddenly you've got them blanking. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, Manchester United got really nice fixtures. And of course, every blank means a double because that fixture's got to be rearranged at some point. So there are certain players like Rashford, like Kieran Trippier at Newcastle too, who I think you just want to say, all right, guys, have a break this week. Take a seat on my bench and I'll bring you back in for the week after, because they're just going to be a headache in the coming weeks. You're going to have to fix again by rebuying them.
Yeah.
Because Sam, Man United and Newcastle are the teams that we've all invested so heavily in. Mm. Are they the only two players though? So for example, I'm trebled up on Manchester United, like a lot of people will be from their double the other week. I've got Luke Shaw, who sat on my bench last week, Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford. I know I'm going to sell Bruno Fernandes because, as you mentioned, I can potentially get him to Salah or elsewhere. Luke Shaw is one I'm not sure about. Marcus Rashford, no question, he goes on my bench. How many players from United could we be keeping on our bench, do you think?
I mean, I'm going to hold Luke Shaw as well, because I do think that he's been good. I like the fixtures going forward. I think there's plenty of clean sheets for Manchester United between now and the end of the season. And as somebody that only holds, I mean, I'm quite lucky right now, either luck or good planning, I'm not sure, but probably a bit of combination. I've got Trippier, I've got Shaw, I've got Rashford. So they're my three bench slots for this week. And then I have got, in theory, a full team that can start outside of those. But even if I didn't, I would look at them and think, well, Bruno, you can sell because he's not going to cost you any more money to buy back. And like you say, you can go to Salah, you can pick somebody else in that kind of premium slot. Luke Shaw's difficult. He's more difficult. Like if you want to go for, say, Robertson for Liverpool's double game week and he's your only sell in order to get there, then I think it's fine to do it. But I also think that longer term, you might want to go back to Shaw. So depending on how quickly you want to go back, it might just be worth popping him on the bench.
Yeah, and it's tough as well, isn't it? I've only got one Newcastle player, but a lot of people will have done the Newcastle double or treble up. I know recently managers have started to sell the likes of Almiron, and Wilson's ownership's gone down because he hasn't featured as much. But there's been a lot of people doing the defensive double up. So some people will have two or three United and potentially two or three Newcastle. That's where it gets tricky.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like my Max, he's got Botman and Trippier. So I think my advice to him was, well, you keep Trippier, you pop him on the bench, and then you look for a replacement for Botman, because there are people in those positions, the likes of Tarkowski that we talked about a lot over recent weeks. You've got players like maybe Ait Nouri at Wolves who you could go to in that similar sort of price bracket. But then you could also look at other players and other teams that aren't going to double, like Chelsea, like we've talked about. That Chelsea defence looks really heavily investable. But you could just target in on a team like Everton, go for Tarkowski for 25, knowing then that you could move to a Brighton defender for their double in game week 27. So you can kind of move that position on. So I think Botman or any secondary Newcastle player is an easy sell, unless it's Pope and you have another playing goalkeeper. If you've got Pope and another playing goalkeeper, just move Pope to the bench and play whoever it is that you have. Even if it's Danny Ward, I think you're better off to play Danny Ward than move out Pope.
Brighton are another interesting one there. You mentioned a Brighton defender, and he's actually got Lewis Dunk. So that's quite good in a way. But also they do blank. And a lot of people have got Mitoma. That's another player that I've got this week, Jules. So I'm these players that aren't playing in 25 are going to be racking up because it's a lot of popular players. United, Newcastle, Brighton. Yeah. Would Mitoma and your Brighton players, would they just be one to keep and potentially bench?
If you can, I think keep and bench. You might not be able to bench Shaw and Rashford and Mitoma and still have a competitive team to play as your 11, really. So you might have to, at some point, sacrifice someone like maybe Mitoma, because I think he would be the one maybe cost you less to bring back in your team after if you wanted to. But if you can, I think ideally those players in form, and I think Mitoma is fourth or fifth in the ranking forms of the game. So I would not sell him. But again, you might not be able, unfortunately, to keep all those guys on the bench because it depends how strong your real bench is. When Mitoma starts, when Trippier starts, when Shaw starts, when Rashford starts, if you've got dudes who never play on the bench, there's no point then putting them in your starting 11. So you might have to sacrifice one or two of your key players and then trying to bring them back later. Otherwise, if you have a strong bench, then great for you because you can just bench Mitoma and then bring him back after the blank week.
One thing I will say here is that we shouldn't necessarily feel like we have to get out 11 players for game week 25. Like there is
definitely... No, but ideally you try.
Ideally you do. Ideally you do. But if you've got Rashford and you've got maybe Shaw and you've got Kieran Trippier, but you've also got Mitoma, then I think there's a serious conversation to be had about whether it's worth taking one of those players out, because you're going to want Mitoma straight back in for the double in 27. You're going to want your Manchester United players back, and you're not going to want to go without Trippier. So actually going in with just 10 maybe makes sense, particularly if you've got a few players in your team that are playing twice. So if you've already got in those 10, you've got maybe a Liverpool player and three Arsenal players, then you've actually got four extra matches that are coming anyway. So really, you've got 14 players. And I think it's important to look at the logistics of that, because you don't want to take a -4 to change out a player like Mitoma, only to then have to take another hit to bring him back in again the week after. You might be better to just sacrifice one player this week instead.
Gosh, Annie, is this giving you a headache?
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Bear in mind, I'm someone that forward plans and knew all of this was coming. And I'm almost... Jules normally has a notepad, by the way, and writes down notes. And I always laugh about him. Have you got it today, Jules?
Yeah, of course it's there. You know, like... It's...
I'm thinking that maybe we've got to the stage of the season where I need a notebook to be doing this as well. It's a lot, isn't it?
Can I ask a question?
Please do.
So on the subject of, you know, having a strong bench and all that sort of thing, I wondered when... I haven't yet played my bench boost. Is there a strategic time that you would recommend I do that? Obviously, it's good when there's double game weeks, but not with all these blanks coming up either. So
there are three game weeks left in midweek where there's no other competition being played. So game week 29, game week 34 and game week 37. All of those have the potential for other fixtures to be added into. Now, currently, I mean, it's very speculative at the moment until the game weeks get announced, but game week 29, most people seem to be suggesting will be quite a big double game week. It does look like there's a lot of potential for a lot of the fixtures to go in there, particularly for the teams that have European action, because there isn't any European football that week. So to get those matches played in that slot would make a lot of sense. So ideally, you want to target one of those. So if I mean, I've used my bench boost, but if I hadn't, then 29, 34 or 37 would be the ones I look at, depending upon which one had the most rearranged fixtures put into it.
Great. Thank you.
And that's quite timely, actually, Sam, because benches are a big thing. Probably bench boosting in one of the blank game weeks isn't as advisable, because we're all going to be filling our benches with these players that we don't want to sell, which means that right now we should be sorting our benches out, because they're going to have to be playing in the coming weeks.
Yeah, that's what I'll be doing this week. Kyle Walker-Peters is my problem on the bench because he hasn't been fit and playing. So I'm going to have to deal with him this week. That's my priority ahead of next week.
Okay, let's finish off talking about premium players. I just wanted to check in on who the best are. Let's not even bother wasting airtime by talking about Erling Haaland. He's still got to be in all of our teams, of course. But Kevin De Bruyne, his first goal since game week 14, sorry to remind you, Annie and Jules, is he back as worth the money now, or are there cheaper alternatives such as Riyad Mahrez that can kind of cover the gap there, Jules?
Yes, I mean, I would say yes. The problem is you just, again, never know with Guardiola and his choices. He's capable of benching De Bruyne for the Spurs game, for example, which was clearly a mistake. And then you can bring him back and he's got the stellar game that he had against Arsenal with a goal and assist and so much activity. So you would think that suddenly it looked like that on Wednesday night, that KDB is back to really being sharp and on his best. I'm not sure if Pep will, for example, give him a little rest at the weekend. They play Nottingham Forest away. You think there's Champions League coming against Leipzig the following week, next week on Wednesday. But that's the thing. Again, we're not going to talk about Pep Roulette every single week, but this is the truth. You just don't know where he's going to go, who's going to pick, who's going to rest, who's going to bench. But yeah, it looks like, I have to say, KDB, for all the money that he would cost you, right now looks in pretty great shape, and you can go for something cheaper, of course, but it seems that, you know, he's back to his best.
Where do you stand on that debate, Sam?
As a Mahrez owner, I wasn't thrilled to see KDB playing really well because, of course, you know, it's that reassuringly expensive thing, isn't it? But I think you're going to get rotation at Manchester City. KDB is probably the one that's least at risk across them. But then Mahrez has scored plenty of goals off the bench this season and he does always get minutes. Rarely does Pep not give him any time at all. So at this point in the season, I'm not going to be selling players that are going to play. I'm going to hold the ones that I have if they're playing, because that's going to give me one less headache through blank game weeks. I do think that there is scope for people to go to KDB now. I think he was fantastic, wasn't he, against Arsenal this midweek. But we have seen him benched. I think, you know, when you look at the Liverpool team, you've got the Salah and Darwin conundrum, you've got the Rashford and Bruno conundrum. I think that's less of an issue. You just go Rashford because he's far better than Bruno this season. And that's not, no disrespect to Bruno, because he's been playing really well. It's just Rashford is in the form of his life. So you have got the money, I think, to invest in a premium at Manchester City. So if you want to go KDB, I won't put you off it. But I'm quite happy with Mahrez.
Yeah, and if you've gone for Haaland and De Bruyne, that's quite a lot of money tied up in those two players, isn't it? That's another problem. Annie, you've got Mo Salah. I imagine you're pretty happy with him. You've had to wait for your points, but having him and Haaland as your two premiums in your team, you must be pretty pleased with and sticking with.
Yeah, I think they're pretty solid. Obviously, Haaland, as you say, is a sort of must-have for everyone. But Salah has finally pulled it out of the bag. So I'm going to keep both of them for the foreseeable.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. What about Bruno Fernandes, Jules? Because he's someone that people have looked at in recent weeks with Manchester United's double that they had. I've alluded to it. I'm probably going to sell him, but I've already got Rashford. Can Rashford cover United for me enough? And can I free up those Bruno funds?
Well, I mean, he's blanking anyway. So you can keep Bruno if you want and bench him along Rashford. I would be tempted. For me, there's too much inconsistency there. And I brought him back for that double game week. And to be fair, he did really well in the first game and then not so well in the second game. And I don't know if it's his form. I don't know if it's Ten Hag's sort of system. I don't know if it's the kind of dependence that they have on Rashford, because Rashford is so good. But with Bruno, I fear that, you can expect maybe a big return one week. And then after that, it's just go back to 2 points or 3 points maybe at best. And I just think, again, it costs you too much for that. So for a double game week at United, if they have one coming up at some point, then maybe Bruno would be a good idea. But just to invest for the rest of the season, I would not go there.
So my takeaway from this chat, Sam, is that, of course, Erling Haaland, potentially Kevin De Bruyne, but you can cover him with Mahrez. But all of a sudden, Salah could be coming back into this premiums chat.
Yeah, and also don't forget about Harry Kane. I think, you know, in the premium chat, we often don't talk about him because there hasn't been a mid-price player at Spurs that you could replace him with. So, you know, there's been a lot of conversation, hasn't there, about whether Mahrez can replace KDB, whether Rashford can replace Bruno, whether Darwin can replace Salah, or maybe even Gakpo can replace Salah at Liverpool. We've had similar conversations with Arsenal, although they're much more mid-priced, their premiums, although Saka's not going to be next year, is he? He's going to be through the roof in his price if he carries on the way he is. But, you know, there was the conversations in the early part of the season about, can Martinelli replace Saka? at Spurs, we haven't had that. It's like, if you want to go Spurs, you have to go Harry Kane. And there's no question marks about it, you know, because Kulusevski's not been fully fit for large chunks of the season, nor is Richarlison. Son is like a totally different player this season. We just haven't had any consistency from him. So I think for me, like, I've got Haaland and I've got Kane as my premiums. And then in the kind of slightly less than premium bracket, I've got players like Darwin. Maybe Mahrez, and they come into that conversation as well. So I'm quite happy with those. I am thinking about whether now is the time to go back with a premium defender in Trent or Robertson, because that Liverpool double is attractive.
Yeah, it's been interesting because we haven't had that conundrum to think of all season, have we? We can just pile our money into our midfield and our forward lines, but potentially those two need to come back on our radar. Let's end on transfers and captains then. To confirm, Jules, you're rolling your transfers, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, indeed.
And your captain will be?
Erling Haaland, although...
You're not going to tell us the truth. Why
don't No. It's just, I think there's a chance, small chance, that he gets rested at the weekend, again for Champions League, coming back for Manchester City next week. Like KDB, as we mentioned, like Mahrez, like Pep can do anything he wants. And you could also see Julian Alvarez, for example, starting for City. At the weekend. So I will captain Haaland. But I will be stressed out until I see the lineup for City and that he's in, because there's a potential for him to be on the bench.
Sam, what about you? What are your plans?
So I, like Jules, was actually planning to roll this week. However, the Chelsea fixture against a managerless Southampton means I am tempted to make one of my transfers early. It was a transfer I was going to do next week anyway, so I might as well do it ahead of Southampton and actually follow what I've been talking about for the last few weeks and bring in Badiashil, because he has the great fixture. I want him for 25, so why not invest a bit early? So I think I'm going to do KWP over to the Chelsea guys now, and then I'm set up with one of those transfers done, ready for the next game week as well.
A bit like Nunes, I feel like you've been talking about Carl Walker-Peters and sorting him out for weeks.
Yeah, there's something there, isn't it? Yeah, there's some sort of bond.
He's been just sat on my bench. I used the experts in him, you see, Jules. He's been sat on my bench harmlessly, and I haven't really needed my bench over the last few weeks. So he's just been sitting there as a cheap budget player. I've played my bench boost. I haven't had to worry about my bench, really. Now, for game week 25, I do have to think about my bench because I need to put Marcus Rashford down there. And that means that somebody who's going to play needs to come in. And so selling Kyle Walker-Peters now is the right moment to make that change. Otherwise, it would have been a waste of a transfer to do it earlier.
Okay, what about captaincy then?
Yeah, it's Man City have got Nottingham Forest, right? Haaland got 17 points the last time he played Nottingham Forest, got 3 goals and 3 bonus points. So I'm going to go Haaland, but I'm going to do something I never do, and that's put the vice captain on somebody in the same game. And I'm going to vice Mahrez, because I do think if Haaland doesn't play, he's going to start Mahrez and vice versa. So I'm going to play the pet roulette and leave the armband on both of them, because that's the standout fixture this week.
Yeah, it certainly is. Annie, what about you? And I want to know if your plans have changed throughout the duration of this podcast, given what we've said.
Well, yeah, God, I feel very sort of informed now and confused about what to do. I think very boringly, I was going to also captain Haaland, although Jules has sowed some seeds of doubt in my mind about whether he might be rested.
Don't trust him when it comes to captaincy, Annie. He changes his mind every week, and he probably will go with someone rogue just before the deadline.
Wherever he's going this weekend, he'll captain someone in that game. That's what he normally does.
But I think I'll vice Saka. I basically have interchanged the captaincy between the two of them quite a lot. But I think, Arsenal are playing Villa, and I don't want to tempt fate, but we should be winning that game. And I think Saka's been very strong recently, so he'll be my vice, but I think I will stick with Haaland for captain.
Yeah, it feels like if you don't do Haaland, you could potentially miss out on just such a massive haul in terms of protecting rank and wanting to keep up with the pack. Then whatever happens, make sure you get all of those changes done by the deadline, which is Saturday at 11 a.m. Annie, thank you so much for coming on. Tell us where we can watch the Sky Fantasy Football Show, and also what else you're kind of up to at the moment.
Yes, no, thank you for having me. It's been very fun. Yes, so you can catch Fantasy Football League on Sky Max on Friday nights. And yes, I also do stand-up comedy, and I've got a show in Leicester on Saturday and then one at Machynlleth Comedy Festival in Wales in May or end of April.
Sometime
in the spring. And I do my own podcast called Secret Artists, which is comedians doing art. So I host it and I have a guest comedian and we paint something whilst chatting.
Oh, amazing. I love that concept. Jules, we should get you to kind of draw one of your boys, maybe Aaron Ramsdale, Harry Kane, during this podcast.
It could be one canvas, Kelly, and every week he could add another player to it. It
could just be all
that's
of his
a great
mates.
Idea.
Lots of my boys are playing in this game, right? They're mocking me.
Annie, you've just given us what could potentially be amazing or a terrible idea for this podcast. Thank you so much for coming on. The best of luck with everything that you are up to in the coming months. I'm very
thank
busy
you.
Indeed. Jules and Sam, have good weekends. Either of you off to a game?
Chelsea Southampton, which I'm delighted. But I'm going to see Mudrik scoring
Mudrik
a hat-trick
watch.
And me, yeah, exactly, getting up to the 100k in the world.
No, I'm not going to a game this weekend. I'm going to be on Sky Sports News, though, talking about all things fantasy football at 10:30 on Saturday morning.
Nice.
Of course, Sam Bonfield always talking about FPL. She's never off duty. Do tune into that to find out if she brings in that Chelsea player early. And you can find out how exactly all of our game weeks went next week. The podcast will be with you slightly earlier. It'll be with you by Wednesday evening. That's because we're all going to get together and do it in studio. We're all going to actually see each other face to face. So gosh, I hope I've had a good game week. Anyway, hope you guys do as well at home. Thanks for listening. See you next week.